Hi, I'm Solara Starr and welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. With over 20 years of experience, I've had the privilege of working with thousands worldwide and sharing my expertise across various media platforms. This podcast is your go-to resource for mastering manifestation and unlocking your ultimate magnetism. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and let's dive in. And a very, very warm welcome back. Solara here. I've got a massive grin on my face. For those of you who are watching this on video, you'll be able to see that. But for those of you who are listening, I'm smiling from ear to ear because I have a really, really special guest on my episode today. Some of you have been following me for some time. You'll be absolutely familiar with this gorgeous soul. And he's played such a significant role in my healing journey. I can't even begin to say the impact. And for those of you who know that I've recently released a book, and for some of you that I've actually read the book, which I'm really impressed with, you'll know that he shows up a fair bit and actually has helped me a huge amount in turning my life around. And when I first met him around about 2012, I think it was, my life was back to front, upside down, and quite frankly, the wrong way around. And now I'm living a completely different version of reality. And if it wasn't for some of the profound wisdom that he shared and the tears and the laughter and more tears and everything that we experienced on the phone, I definitely would not be where I am today. And this is my mentor, Yehuda. Many of you will hear me speaking about him in courses and workshops, and like I say in my book. And Yehuda's Kabbalistic wisdom has influenced the way that I understand life and challenges and relationships and manifestations, my behavior, human behavior, and probably most importantly, the patterns that I kept repeating over and over and over. So today we're going to have a conversation, very, very free flow, and I want to be able to help you understand a little bit about the technology of Kabbalah, my extraordinary mentor, and yeah, just sit back, relax, and if you've got a cup of tea, put your feet up, because I know that this is going to be something that will be an absolute game changer for you too. So Yehuda, welcome again, my friend, to my podcast. It's a real pleasure to have you here. And thank you for playing such an important role in my journey over the years. Would you mind sharing a little bit about who you are, what you do, your purpose?
Of course, of course. So, I'm so excited. Thank you for hosting me. I remember that phone call. You remember that phone call? 14 years ago on a Sunday, right?
Yes. I remember I was putting some stuff in the tumble dryer, I think, at the time.
Oh, what a special day it was. And look at you today. You look amazing. Very, very inside out. I can feel amazing energy from you. You've transformed so much and you're such an inspiration for so many people. You know, I caught you at the time in your life that you were in the darkness and now you're in the light. And talking about darkness into light, because that's basically the essence of Kabbalah, because what does Kabbalah mean even? Kabbalah is, the word Kabbalah means to receive. Kabbalah is a universal wisdom that teaches you pretty much how to receive, but receive what? In Kabbalah, we talk about the light of the Creator. We talk about the infinite force that comes from the universe, the force of all good, prosperity, happiness, joy, fulfillment, love, all the great things of life. And I would say the things that we are not necessarily, we cannot buy love, we cannot buy happiness. Surely things may trigger happiness, you know, like good relationship or success at work. That can trigger happiness. But for me, the Kabbalah really taught me one thing, that happiness or your light, your joy, your fulfillment, security comes from within. For me, that was the biggest change in my life since starting this journey back in 2002. What a journey. And I'll tell you something. If you're looking for fulfillment that is more than the external chaotic world, which you'll find here and there, if you want real fulfillment, you can look inside. And Kabbalah will teach us all the tools, like Solara just said, it's to heal my soul, to open my soul for the light. Because you may go through pain right now. You may go through some kind of darkness now, unclarity, confusion. Let me tell you, the solution is not out there. It's right here within you. You just need to know how to access it. I mean, you may have heard this before, but Kabbalah really gives you an amazing pathway to access your light. There's so much I can say, but I also want to hear from you, Salara.
Well, that's exactly what it did for me. You know, I didn't realize how much darkness I was in, really. You know, I was living in the upside down. I think it's one of the Netflix series. I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, I definitely was not living a life of fulfillment and ease and peace and joy. I mean, a lot of it was my own making, unbeknown to me. I didn't know that I didn't know that I was a big part of the pain that I was experiencing by not only the way I was showing up in the world, but unhealed trauma also added to that, my fears that were driving so much of my behaviors. But I didn't know that's what was happening at the time. And through our journey, I think like there's a few key moments that really stood out to me. And I think that might be quite nice to chat about some of them. And I don't know if you ever called what I'm just about to say, what I'm calling it now. So you might have to just let me know if I've made this up or not. But I remember the name of opposites. And I remember it was a conversation kind of like around, if you always do what you've always done, you're going to always get what you've always got type thing. It wasn't those words, but it was something around that. And if I continued to respond to life in the same way, I would continue to get the same results. And I was constantly left scratching my head. I felt bruised. I felt wounded emotionally. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. So I remember you inviting me to play a game where I do the opposite of my ego. Now, at this point, unbeknown to me, my ego was absolutely massive. And that's not me putting myself down. It was a lot of hurt and pain that had created such a massive shield. So I understand with compassion why my ego had got so big and so defensive. And I remember, and this is one of the accounts I put in the book, I was in a relationship at the time, and it was a very, very unhappy, volatile relationship. And I remember us having a conversation the night before, and I was like, right, whenever I feel my ego popping out my chest like Incredible Hulk, wanting to do one thing, I'm going to see what happens if I do the opposite. And it was probably one of the biggest game changers for me. And it showed me a completely different reality as a result of that. And the relationship I was in at the time, he was by the kettle and he was just stirring his coffee really rigidly. And I went downstairs and I kind of nearly had the same attitude that I'd always had. I went to say, well, what's wrong with you? You know, no kindness or compassion, just defensiveness and hostility. But I didn't. I just said, is everything okay? So again, I was just completely going against my ego. And he turned around and said, well, you know, I've got absolutely loads to do. So do I look okay? And of course, my ego wanted to come out my chest like Incredible Hulk again and said, well, haven't we all got loads to do, and be bolshy? But instead I said, well, is there anything that I can do to help? I could see like there was a pause in stirring his coffee at the time, like, you know, I'd been abducted by aliens and there was some strange woman in his house. And I started to notice like a softening. But I think because there was so much trust that we'd lost in the relationship, he then turned around and said, yeah, he said, you can go and clear out the gutters. And that was the ultimate test for me, because it could have been me just absolutely exploding. But I don't want to live this life anymore. I want to break my patterns. I want to do things differently. And if that means overcoming myself, which is one of the biggest lessons you helped me to understand, then so be it. And I said to him, yeah, sure, where's the bucket? Now, bearing in mind, it was a freezing cold November. I was climbing up in howling winds and this freezing sludge and gludge into this bucket. I mean, that in itself was a lesson that I ended up going and saying thank you, Tim, because years before that, I'd been doing it and I hadn't even known how awful that job was. So that was an eye-opener in itself. But that was the start of a massive change for me. So even though the relationship never made it through, I learned valuable lessons about myself. And that's when I really understood the opponent. And I'd like to go into a little bit of conversation around, what is the opponent? What is the ego? Is it bad? Is it here to help us? I'm going to hand over to you because I know that you've got incredible wisdom on this.
Wow. Thank you. You know, I don't remember you sharing that story with me. So I'm very proud of you. That's an inspiration by itself. That's incredible. Wow, let's talk about the ego. Is ego good? Is ego bad? Let's explain so much we can say just about that. Let me explain about the two forces that exist within us. Well, you have two forces. How do we know we have two forces or two voices within us? Because do you ever find yourself argue with yourself? Do you find yourself arguing your thoughts, right? For an argument, you need two voices. So we do have two voices inside of us. One voice is of the higher frequency, is the voice of the soul. And the voice of the lower frequency is the voice of the ego. The voice of the soul is the voice of kindness, love, joy, acceptance, peace. And the voice of the ego is the you know, we all know that voice, the angry voice, the judgmental voice, the voice of revenge, the voice of fear. We all know this voice. And we have this battle between this voice of the ego and the voice of the soul. So this is basically what we call in Kabbalah the free will, to distinguish between darkness and light. Now, let me tell you something that most people don't understand. Our real essence is not our ego. Our real essence is our soul, is our light. Before we came into this world, there was only beautiful soul, light, diamond. We came into this world to practice our free will. In a way, we talk about it in Kabbalah, the ability to shine light through darkness, because we are coming from a place of light. But when you are in light and there is only light, your unique light is not really, doesn't really make much of a difference. Take a candle on a sunny day. Take a candle. It's not going to make any difference. But when you take a candle into a dark room, then your candle makes a difference. And so we come from a place of light, but we did not feel so significant and so powerful and so influential. And we are coming into this world, into this physical world. It's a world of darkness, that the light is concealed. So the light of the Creator is giving us the opportunity to shine our light through darkness, so we can feel significant, so we can feel like, I did it, I overcame, I became. And so that's the journey of life. So when you face darkness, you have an opportunity to shine your light even stronger. And darkness is not a physical darkness. Even though most kids are afraid of the dark, darkness doesn't hurt. You can get scared of the darkness. You can react to the darkness, but that doesn't hurt. Ultimately, it doesn't hurt. And so the purpose of the ego is that force of darkness. The situation is never your enemy. The annoying person is never your enemy. Not having enough money in your bank is not your enemy. The person who hurt you, who made you feel like garbage, is not your enemy. It's never been your enemy. Your ego has always been your enemy. So what is the purpose of the ego? The purpose of fear, the purpose of anger, the purpose of feeling hurt, whatever that is for you to experience the darkness so you can choose light. And when you choose light, when you overcome, like what you did, like what I did, then you can be an inspiration for other people. And honestly, the stronger the darkness, the stronger that opponent is, the stronger that ego voice is, the stronger the potential for light. So, for instance, in your case, right, Salara used to have a lot of fears, right? So by overcoming them, can you say today, at least 14 years since our first conversation, can you say that today you have more certainty? You have more confidence in yourself?
I really do. Yeah, much more confidence in myself. I think understanding the whole opponent and, you know, how challenges are happening for me, not to me. And I love what you said about light a candle in the sun. It's not going to make much difference. I never heard that before. I really love that. So yeah, definitely. And an interesting thing around the whole ego. I think Gabor Mate refers to the ego as a stupid friend or something like that. And I can't remember exactly how he says it, but I see the ego as actually has been one of my biggest gifts. So even though it's plummeted me into darkness and, you know, like taken me to places that I would never really consciously choose to go. It's actually been my making, because if it wasn't for my ego pushing me to such dark, deep depths, I would never, ever have climbed up and out the way I did. Without your help, of course, definitely would have been a lot more challenging. But I look at my ego now with a lot of fondness, and I kind of look and say, well, thank you, because if it wasn't you pushing me so hard and taunting me and telling me I'm not good enough and making me sensitive to other people's opinions and pushing me into people pleasing and having lack of boundaries, I wouldn't ever have connected to the light. So I quite often wonder that, yeah, even though it is the dark aspect of self, I wonder actually really, really, really if it's actually one of the most special gifts that we can ever have, because without it, we wouldn't ever then find that light. So, you know, that's just how I kind of ponder on it. And I quite often thank that part of me. And I understand that it's just scared and living in a survival paradigm. And, you know, a lot of the time it doesn't really know any better and trying to keep me safe anyway. You know, so, yeah, I find it's an extremely fascinating conversation.
And I want to say something to everybody, for sure. I mean, I want to say something that ego is like a wild horse. If you know how to tame it and to train it, it can work for you. For most people, their ego make them work. Their ego is driving their life. Their ego is in the driver's seat. If you know how to tame your ego, first of all, you need to understand what it is. If you know how it works, you can use it in your favor. You can use it as a driving force for your growth. Because we see people who are ego-driven, they can be really successful. You can see politicians who are ego-driven. You can see rich people, very rich people, massively rich people, driven by their ego. So it can help you accomplish things. But if it's driving your life, there'll be a lot of side effects. I've talked to all these people who have a lot of money, some of them even billionaires, but their life is miserable in other areas for some reasons. Whether it's their marriage is miserable, or whether they lost their connection with their kids, or they have health problems, or people betray them, and they have a horrible life. Does that mean that having a lot of money, you're going to have a horrible life? No. It's because if the ego is driving the car, if the ego is running the show, there's also going to be side effects. There's also going to be making the wrong decisions. I've met people who had great business, multi-million dollar businesses, and they lost everything for one stupid ego decision. Fear-based decision, and they lost everything, just to understand the lesson of the ego. But let me help each one of us define what that ego is, the healthy ego. The healthy aspect of the ego is a strong desire to receive. And again, Kabbalah, like we said, is receiving. You need a strong desire to receive, because the light of the Creator wants to give to you infinitely. Anything, prosperity and happiness and love. You're supposed to have it all. People, the ego will tell you, not so much. You can only have this, but you cannot have that. The ego is the force of limitation. It's a logical force. But the ego, the negative aspect of the ego, is desire for the self alone. Desire to receive for the self alone. So if you can remove the self alone to receiving for the sake of sharing, then that ego becomes a force that can drive you to success without side effects. And what do I mean by that? Desire for the self alone is the force of ego that disconnects you from the force of the universe, which is a force of nurturing, nourishing, giving. The universe, the light of the Creator, is a force of giving, unconditional love force. So if you're not in a state of love, you're not in a state of giving, you are disconnected from that light force. So there is a paradox here. On one hand, you're telling me, I need to want to receive. Because the more I want to receive, the more I can give. That's the paradox. If I receive for the self alone, problem. The energy gets stuck. If I receive for the sake of sharing, the energy is flowing. Myself alone, it stays here. I become resentful. I become worried. I get scared. It's the self alone. I need to have a desire, but that desire shouldn't just be about myself. The more I receive, the more I give, and the more I give, the more I receive. And honestly, it has to start with the desire to receive. Because how can you give if you don't receive? So most people actually have issues. I'll tell you, Salar, most people have issues with receiving. Everybody feels good giving, but a lot of people have issues receiving. So if you take that force of a strong ego, you want to take over the world. You want to receive, you want to have it all. You want the billions, you want the soulmate, you want the success. And you transform it to the sake of sharing, you can be the most successful person on earth and be a channel for the light, and everything will flow. There's no reason why life shouldn't flow. Set yourself higher goals. Let yourself receive more. The universe doesn't limit you. The universe wants you to have a bigger desire to receive, because that's all it wants to do, to give to you. Well,
the connection went a tiny bit then. But just to share, like, I've got a massive grin on my face because I remember when we were having these conversations quite early on in our connection. And it's taken me quite a long time to really truly understand this, because when I started to logically understand the concept, I was very ego driven of me wanting to receive, which meant that I had to go and give because I want to receive. Do you remember we were having the conversations? And every month I was giving money. And I remember, like, 3 months later, I rang you up. I said, Yehuda, like, this thing you told me I've got to give and I'll receive, and I'm not receiving. And you were like, yes, but it's receiving out of purity, not receiving because, not giving, sorry, just because I want to receive. It's giving out the purity of just wanting to give, and then receiving is a natural side effect of that. But I was giving and then waiting. I was like, well, where is it then? And I smiled because that was a real rite of passage for me.
And, you know, giving, a lot of people do that. That's what society is, we are trained to do that. You give at work so you can get paid. You give it to your client or to anybody you work with because you're expecting to get paid. Even in relationships, I give to you so you can give back to me. Mm-hmm. And it's an ego giving. Because you give to receive. It only feeds that ego. They're receiving for the self alone. Even the giving to get approved. Putting a post, posting something. Just to get the likes. And the thing is that we always want to receive. There's nothing wrong about it. But let me tell you something. To make it more accurate. It's okay to want to receive. Not to expect, not to wait for it. When you give, you don't expect to receive. When you give, you know that you will receive. The knowing that the more I give, the more I receive is enough. Because you know, I don't know how it's going to manifest, but I know giving is receiving. And in fact, I want to receive more. And I'm expecting to receive more because my desire is that if I give more and receive more, then I can give even more next time. So it's okay to know and to want to receive more, but not for my own ego, just because I want to expand my capacity.
That was one of the biggest challenges for me. It was like really tweaking the consciousness behind the giving. And, you know, like the covert contract is something that comes into mind. Like we have like covert contracts, like I'll do this for you, but then there's going to be an expectation that if I need something, you will then give it back to me. So it's quite a fine tuning, isn't it, to kind of tweak the giving so that it's not like a covert contract, like I'm expecting something back in return. It's like, I think another thing that you taught me, Yehuda, I don't know if you remember this, but you spoke about a glass of water, and you spoke about how we are the vessel, and this vessel can only hold a certain amount unless we expand our consciousness, of course. But you said to me, but if we drill a hole and we put another glass underneath, we're going to not only be pouring into somebody else's, but it's going to create space for more for us to receive. So it stops us from stagnating. So it creates that continuity and that flow. Do you remember you sharing that with me?
Yes, of course. And I share it all the time because that's the whole concept. You know, a lot of people know about the concept of tithing, of the giving of your 10% of what you've got. And why is that? It's very simple, because as long as you're a vessel, as long as you work with a cup, I have a cup, as long as you work with a cup, you have so much that you can contain. But removing the bottom of the cup, it's not just poking a hole. It's removing the bottom of the cup. Remove the bottom of the cup, and the cup will become a pipe. You want to become a pipe of light.
Interesting. Because
if you are a pipe of light, you get infinite abundance.
I love that. So really, we want to be a pipe.
Yeah, don't be a vessel.
I like
be a
that.
Pipe.
That can be a new affirmation. I am a pipe. I love it. Yehuda, I know we've been saying this for a long, long time, but I'm thinking maybe in a month's time or something, should we run a masterclass and we can get online with a few people and we'll get something in the diary and we'll send out some invitations and maybe share a little bit Kabbalah level one so we can go into a bit more detail like we did in the old days.
Oh, wow. What beautiful times. We had such a nice group, soul tribe. And let's do it. That'll be amazing.
Yes. So for the listeners then, I know it'll be amazing. I always feel so energized, and I have no doubt that those listening will now just want more. So there's no doubt you're going to be a guest again. So I'm going to drag you here, even though I probably don't need to, because I know you enjoy it as well. But I know you help people, like that's just your life mission and your purpose. If people wanted to contact you so that you could also help them, how would they go about getting in touch with you? I can put a link in the show notes as well. I mean, is that something?
Well, I'm thinking WhatsApp would be a good way to communicate. I have a link to book a consultation, 20 minutes complimentary consultation with anybody who wants to learn about Kabbalah and get to know the wisdom. Yeah, I'm happy to help anybody, because you know what? When I share the light, I receive the light. It's coming through me. I want to be a pipe for more light, for more wisdom in the world. And I'll tell you something. This is not just about me, because I'm a part of an organization that has existed since more than 100 years. The Kabbalah Center was opened for the public. The Kabbalah wisdom was restricted for many, many decades, millennia. For millennia, it was restricted. And only very, very, you know, handful of people had access to it. But starting from 1922, the Kabbalah Center opened the gates for everybody to come and learn this wisdom. So what is the purpose of learning Kabbalah? Kabbalah is not just about self-help and awareness. No, the Kabbalah is only a tool to elevate the consciousness of humanity. So as it's like the micro and the macrocosmos, that each one of us, as we elevate ourselves, we elevate the world. Like when I go out of darkness, I can help other people get out of the darkness. You do it with your beautiful book. You do it with the people that you coach. You do it with every single person, honestly, every single person you smile to, positive attitude to. You show them the opposite of the ego, like the example of the coffee. It's like, wow. Act of kindness. Another act of kindness. That's what's going to change the world. Rav Berg, who is the founder of the Kabbalah Center in our generation, I would say, because Kabbalah has existed for many, many generations, said something very special. You know, everybody talks about love thy neighbor, love your friend as yourself. It's all about love. Hey, listen, we're not going to love everybody, okay? But the least that we can do is have human dignity. And what human dignity is to know that there is the spark of the light of the Creator in every single person. in the animal kingdom, in a plant, in water, in everything. There is spark of the light of the Creator. So having that respect, you don't have to agree. Just have a respect. A little bit more human dignity in the world, and we're going to change the world. This is going to be world peace. And I want to also encourage all of our listeners, look into the Zohar, because if there's one thing that changed my life, I wouldn't talk with you unless I opened the Zohar that day. It's a text in Aramaic that just by opening that Zohar and just scanning it with your eyes without understanding it, it's going to awaken the light, the hidden light that is within you. It's going to spark your light, like not like anything else that you've ever experienced. So we want the Zohar and the light to be all around the world. We want to create a shift in consciousness, in humanity. That's the reason why I do what I do. And that's the reason why hundreds of teachers and I would say millions of people have already learned this wisdom. And it's good news because this world needs more light. So this world is in a state of darkness. Terrorism, wars, problems, disputes, natural disasters, cancer, disease, problems. We can change it by activating the light. You can feed the poor, fine. They will wait for the next meal. But if you teach the poor how to connect to the light, they will create their own sustenance. You can complain about your politicians, but awaken consciousness from within you, and the leaders will change. The leaders of the world will change when the people of the world will change. So one person at a time, starting with me.
I remember you just, yes, I remember you saying to me once, it was so lovely. You said to me, my friend, you're going to affect the lives of millions or billions of people. And I remember like on the phone, just going quiet, just thinking, I don't think that that's ever going to happen. But then I realized actually that was my ego, like expecting to be like Oprah on the stage. But actually I soon, from a soul connection perspective, I realized that actually if I transform my darkness into light, I completely affect the whole of the collective conscious, which is far beyond anything that I could ever imagine, just not in the way my ego would want it to be for validation. And that really stuck with me. So I totally agree that each and every one of us that overcomes ourselves, that alchemizes some of our dark into light, we actually make a massive impact across the whole of the multiverse. And you're right, it absolutely starts with us. Yehuda, thank you for being here today. We'll have a little conversation separately and get a date in the diary and run a little masterclass. And then it'll be great, whoever wants to, from wherever in the world, to sign up and share a bit of time with us, imparting some more wisdom.
Let's do it. Looking forward.
Yes. So what I'll do is I'll put your Calendly, I think it's Calendly, or your Acuity link in the show notes. Yeah. And also, if you'd like to know a little bit more about my journey with Yehuda, and I go into more stories like The Incredible Hulk and The Game of Opposites and amazing other things that I learned from my journey with the Kabbalah and with Yehuda specifically, it's in my book, The Only Way Out Is In. And a massive part of that is also credit to the wisdom that you and I shared in some of my deepest, darkest moments. So thank you, Yehuda.
With much love. Giving you a big hug from here, from Florida, and can't wait to see you again soon.
I really look forward to it. Take care, my lovely friend.
Take care, my friend. See you soon.
See you soon. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. It's been absolutely beautiful, and I'll be back with you the same time next week. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Solara Star Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you never miss out. And you can stay connected with me on Instagram at Solara Star. And for even more inspiration and explore my courses and coaching at solarastar.com. You deserve to live a deeply connected and fulfilling life. And it's only you that can make it happen.